we as a business are really driven by our own mission as opposed to disrupting anybody else. With ever-increasing urbanisation, we all have to be aware of how we use space efficiently. There's been a deep-seated shift in the way that people work, and I think that irrespective of what happens with the economy, that shift is not going away.
Hello everyone and welcome to the EG Property Podcast. I am joined in the studio today by Mary Finnegan, who is Head of Transactions for Real Estate for EMEA and Australia at WeWork. I am your host for today, Sam McClary, Deputy Editor of EG. And over the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be talking all things WeWork and We Company. We're talking about what WeWork really is, how it works, its perception within the real estate industry, and much, much more. But before we get into that, let's hear a little bit more from Mary. Mary, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background, sort of how you got into real estate and how you ended up at WeWork?
Yeah, sure. So I studied languages at university, and then after university did a legal conversion course and trained as a lawyer. And during that training contract, decided that I was really very interested in real estate. So eventually became a real estate lawyer and was working for a city law firm. One day I came into work and there was a message from an American recruitment consultant on my phone. When I got back to him, he said to me, oh, there's this company. It's a New York based company. You probably don't know them, but they're going to be huge. They're already really big in New York and they're going to be huge in London. So this is an opportunity for you to join WeWork as their in-house real estate lawyer. So that was how I joined. And then over a period of time, so during that first year, I transitioned over to a more general commercial role.
And he wasn't wrong, was he? WeWork are huge.
No, we've seen, I mean, amazing growth over the last 3.5 years, which is how long I've been there. It's been really exciting to be part of that journey.
Fantastic. And let's start talking about WeWork then and that growth, because I guess here in the real estate industry, well, you and I met at one of our conferences, and there was quite a lot of people didn't really understand what WeWork was, did they? They were talking very much about WeWork as a real estate company, as a disrupting company that was going to try and change the way that the office market works. And I guess I'm just keen to hear from you in this room anyway, how much of that is true, and it, you know, should we think of WeWork as a real estate company?
Yeah, I think the first thing to mention is that we as a business are really driven by our own mission as opposed to disrupting anybody else. So our passion is providing our membership base with the best possible experience in the WeWork community. What I can say that we are doing at WeWork is we are really reacting to the requirements of our membership base. And what they feedback to us is that they require flexibility of term, of location, that they really want exposure to other businesses within our network. And we are very fortunate because we've been able to grow up as a business without any fixed expectations. So we've been able to react very quickly to this change in the way the world of work really has transformed. You know, I do recognise in terms of the flow of information, we're not a listed company. So we really do welcome the opportunity to speak to people in the real estate industry and to show them what we really are all about.
What would you like them to, how would you like them to describe WeWork?
So we are a global community platform. What that means is we provide all of the space, the technology, the services, and facilitate the network for our member businesses to grow and to be successful. I think in terms of the real estate industry, we'd really like them to view us as a partner that they can work with. I think the industry does recognise that we are best in class really at operating and activating space. And I think more and more value will be ascribed to that operation and activation of space as time goes on. So really, you know, we're here to partner with those who want that experiential offering in their buildings.
That's a really interesting word there, isn't it? Partner. And I think we hear it more and more in real estate, which I think is encouraging. And I guess we've seen real estate companies look do something similar to WeWork now and work alongside them as well. And I think that can only be a good thing, isn't it? If we're focused on the occupier and that community and the customer service, that is very much a popular phrase in real estate now, that can only be a good thing.
I think there's definitely been a change in mindset from the industry as a whole of late. It's interesting that you mentioned the word customer because, you know, for us, we don't describe our end users as our customers. They're very much our members. Mm. To me, the notion of a customer or a tenant, that suggests really a separation in terms of approach between the provider and the end user. Whereas for us, we're a platform. We're all part of the same community. You know, our members are talking to each other as much as they're talking to us. Mm. So it's a different approach, I think, to where you're seeing more traditional companies entering into the co-working market.
Sure. And there you mentioned the platform, and we've obviously all seen that WeWork has rebranded recently as the We Company. How much was that rebrand driven by this desire for not just our industry, I guess, but all industries to view you as more than just that sort of flexible workspace provider?
Yeah, so the We Company is the umbrella name for all of We Work, We Grow and We Live. And I think for anybody who's familiar with what we're doing, they are aware that we take a very holistic approach to our members. So we're not just about flexible space. There's much more to it than that. For us, really, our focus is on how our members experience the brand rather than public perception of the brand. You know, the brand represents community, productivity. It's important to us that our members experience the brand in a very positive way. And then we continue to grow organically through word of mouth.
Can you talk us through a little bit about that, how members do experience all of that?
Yeah, sure. So we have this obsession with member experience, as I'm sure you've seen when you've been into a WeWork space. When you walk into the space, you're greeted by a member of our community team. And the community team are really integral to the success of our business. They're always talking to our members, getting feedback from our members, walking the floors to kind of reactively deal with any issues they may have in terms of, you know, the physical space, but also proactively connect them with other members. You know, we recruit our community team mainly from the retail and hospitality industries. And there's a good reason for that. We want them to always be thinking about how they can host people really well in the space. And this obsession with member experience informs all aspects of the business. So right back to the real estate team in terms of when we're sourcing the buildings, we need to be thinking about, is it in a location that our members will like? Is there enough light coming into the building to make it a pleasant experience? The design then follows on from that. So we will go through a whole 3D programming of the space where we can kind of predict how it is in real life for our members when they're there. You know, even in the legals, we're permanently thinking about the operation of the space. Have we got everything in the document that we need to be able to operate properly as a WeWork? The app, again, that's a way that we think, well, how can we make the member experience better in terms of the efficiency of booking meeting rooms, the efficiency of knowing who else is in the building that they may be able to speak to or leverage off. And then it comes through to the human connections that our community team is making when they're operating the space. The great thing I think about the network and the platform is really the way it's growing so organically, the way it's become a real ecosystem in its own right. So we do regular surveys of our members, and 50% of them are actually transacting together. Mm. 70% of them are talking to each other in some way or other, so collaborating with each other.
It sounds almost utopian, I suppose. And if I'm being horribly British, it sounds quite American, doesn't it? Sounds quite New York. And I wonder if when WeWork or We Company first came over here, if, you know, sort of the stoical Brits were a bit like, oh, hang on a minute. How do we do, you know, we like our little square boxes and we're going to sit here and I won't talk to my neighbour, especially here in London. We never talk to our neighbours, do we? Have you found that experience has changed over time, and sort of what lessons have you learned along the way?
I suppose when we started in London, we did generally attract more individual entrepreneurs and SMEs. And what we've really seen in the last couple of years is a huge growth in the uptake of memberships from what we describe as our enterprise community base. And they're global business with 1,000 or more employees who like to work in, be it London, Shanghai, Sydney. I'm not going to limit it to those particular WeWork offices, but that's an example. And it's interesting though, because the feedback they give us is that as well as this ability to access WeWork buildings globally, the reason they're attracted to WeWork is precisely because they don't want certain parts of their employee base to be so inward looking. They want them to be more outward looking, to be speaking to the creators or the designers within our community, and, you know, to be feeding off each other in terms of ideas. So I do understand what you're saying in terms of it's perhaps not expected, but it's certainly how it's played out for us.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking there about the customer profile and about the enterprise members, I should say, shouldn't I? Not customers. How much of what you're doing now is for those customers, members, and has that changed the type of space that you're looking for?
So the enterprise members in London now make up approximately 30% of our membership base. They are companies like Microsoft, Bosch, Barclays, Deloitte, GoPro. You know, I'm just naming a few of them. There's many, many more. And in terms of the buildings we're sourcing, no, we have always been aware that we need great locations for our members, because it comes back to the member experience. If it's in an awkward location, then we're not going to necessarily attract members into the space. So we continue to source the best buildings and the best locations. What we've become very careful about in advance of signing legal documents is making sure we go through the programming stage of our design in advance. Coming back to this 3D scanning of the space and doing the 3D, you know, tour around the building in advance to make sure that the community offering remains as vibrant and dynamic as it always was. And whilst we do have enterprise members coming to us for large, large offices, we make sure that they are integrated into the larger WeWork community. It's important to us both that our individual entrepreneurs and SMEs feel that they're part of a community, but also we do recognise that a large part of the reason the enterprise members want to be with us is because they want to be part of a community. So it's about getting the balance and the mix right.
And you mentioned the 3D scanning there. Now, that is a company that was a member and is now part of the WE company, is that right?
That's right. So about 3 years ago, we acquired an architecture firm called Case. And Dave Fano and his team, who came over from Case, have really developed the 3D scanning and the use of BIM to make sure that we're very accurate in terms of doing our layouts, planning out our space. And the whole point behind that is that we are able to operate our space very efficiently whilst making sure that there's a really good flow in the buildings and there's a real sense of community, that there's lots of touch points for our members to actually be able to connect and talk. So I think I mentioned to you when I showed you around WeWork Moorgate, we think a lot about, for example, where the coffee machine is or where we place in our armchair, or we may even at times put in interconnecting staircases if we think it useful, because all the research demonstrates people are more likely to stop and have a chat on a staircase than if they, you know, just don't have to walk past each other. So it's all that sort of stuff that it looks like it's by accident, but most of the time it really isn't at WeWork.
Excellent. And are there any other examples of companies that you've met, or WE company has met along the way, that have become part of the family, I suppose? And how much of that do you now utilise to grow and expand the company?
Yeah, there's a couple of examples of companies we've acquired in the last couple of years. So first of all, we have Meetup, and that's the online platform which enables our members to kind of get together to enjoy hobbies and interests. And then another example would be Flatiron, which is a coding school. And we were getting lots and lots of feedback from our smaller members that the ability to be able to train their employees in coding was pretty integral, especially to some of our tech membership base. So that's come to London. It's in Finsbury Pavement. our members really make great use of that facility. So we're always thinking about, listen, how can we improve our members' lives? How can we take a more holistic approach to their business? And those are two great examples, I think, of how we've done that.
And do you think that the feel and the personality, I guess, is a word to use, of a WeWork space is what enables those coming togethers? And, you know, not only is that of benefit for your members, but it's clearly of benefit for the WE company, the WE family as well.
Do you mean in terms of the design of the space, or
the design and the ethos.
And the mindset? I think that's right. I think if you join a WeWork, you recognise from the start that, you know, the community team is a very outgoing, friendly, but also thoughtful team, and they're making sure that they are kind of facilitating conversations all the time in the building. So very quickly, people get into the mindset of you know, we're here to collaborate, to work together, and of course that's great for the member companies, but yes, of course, as you say, it enables the WeWork business to then grow pretty organically.
Here at EG, we are, particularly over the last year or so, and definitely going forward, are very focused on the future of real estate. I think we have to be. We can't look to the past, can we, any of us? And that covers everything from, you know, the types of spaces that are being provided to the people that work in the industry. We're very very big on sort of pushing the D&I agenda, and also the tech, which I think is a, you know, hugely exciting part of real estate. I'd love to hear from you a little bit about the role that you think the WE company and WeWork could play in that, or is already playing in the future of real estate.
Yeah, I think the first thing, because we are not a traditional company, we are a whole mix of things really as a company. So what that means is we have a really diverse employee base. So I've talked about the community team, the fact that most of our community team has retail and hospitality experience. We then obviously have a real estate team. We have a lot of architects and engineers. We have lawyers. We have a sales team. So we have a whole diverse set of people all working together, all kind of behind, you know, the mission of WeWork. The other thing that has been really refreshing for me is that we have a real diversity of employee base in terms of gender, class, religion, sexual orientation. So what this means is, I think as a dynamic business, all of our employees from all those different groups find that they have great opportunities to grow. It's a very merit-based company, and I think that's pretty different to an old traditional company, you know, that's been run by maybe a group of people who are from a very similar background, of same gender, of a similar mindset. So that's been really quite different for me, coming from a much more traditional sort of industry. In terms of our membership base, that's quite interesting as well, because actually 54% of our membership base, in terms of the smaller companies and the entrepreneurs, are female founders, which that's been interesting to me, that, you know, they've really been attracted to the sort of environments that we are providing. And then I think in terms of the future with regard to technology and what we're doing there, I think in the real estate industry as a whole, you're going to see more and more customization of the work. Workspaces for individuals. I think with ever increasing urbanisation, we all have to be aware of how we use space efficiently, but we still need to make it pleasant. So we're very much thinking about how can we customise the space so that each individual who works in the space for a particular amount of time can be comfortable there, and knowing that we can use it flexibly as a business too.
And now, I guess, last but not least, there will be, and probably always will be, a few people out there who just don't get the WeWork story, some naysayers. There's been some headlines, we can't deny those. What's the WeWork message to those people?
I don't think we're unusual in terms of high growth companies that face some difficult press at this stage in their growth. I think if you look back, you'll see that other hugely successful companies have faced similar criticisms at this stage in the development of their company. I suppose my final thoughts are there's been a deep-seated shift in the way that people work, and I think that irrespective of what happens with the economy, that shift is not going away.